it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
1 o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold. Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. We'll get to the random question of the day here in about 12 to 15 minutes from now. Moving into the 1 o'clock hour, we appreciate Matt McMullen joining us in studio in the last segment, talking some Chiefs football. Keep an eye on playoff baseball today as well. It's the top of the fourth inning. Guardians with the 1-0 lead on the Tigers. Remember, it is a best of three series, so the Guardians have to win today to keep their season alive. One of four games today on the postseason calendar for Major League Baseball. But let's welcome in Josh Klingler, Chief Sideline Reporter for the Chiefs Radio Network. He will be in Jacksonville on Monday night. Kling, earlier in the show, I was saying, you know what, Jacksonville, I think for Chiefs fans, it's not September. You know, this is a pretty decent trip to make. Cody immediately trashed the city of Jacksonville. Have you been there?
I have, and it's supposed to rain pretty much the entire time too. So
there goes the beach.
It's not sunny. Go to the beach. It's rain and we went to what was supposed to be a Chiefs bar the last time we were there, and I think I posted pictures the last time we were there, but it was so it had a Chiefs flag out front. You know, one of those. We cater to Chiefs fans. So we're like, okay, well, we'll go patronize this place on a Saturday night. And we go in there, and there's one guy behind the bar who's also maybe the chef. I mean, I don't know. He was seemingly doing it all.
There were people there. Okay.
Yeah, I think so. It was like he was mad there were people there. He was changing over his shift. The two TVs had on like MeTV, you know, they had Beverly Hillbillies was on one TV and something else was on the other TV. And it was like, ooh. So we've hunted around a little bit, haven't kind of found that, you know, nice little Saturday destination in Jacksonville. So it hasn't been great. And then the stadium's a bit older now, right?
And jump in the pool.
That blue water looks dirty. I don't know how anybody would want to swim in that thing.
I feel like everything in Jacksonville seems dirty, and no one should want to be anywhere near the city.
So it wouldn't necessarily be a destination trip, but I'm sure plenty of Chiefs fans will still be going because they're kind of going everywhere.
Maybe in January or December, if you told me, at least I'm escaping, you know, the frozen tundra that is Kansas City on time, you know?
Yeah. I mean, 85 and rain, you know, it's like,
No hurricanes, at least in the area, right? Those are off the coast.
That's true.
Kling, we're not
those are off the coast and pass by.
We're not trying to have too many big swings back and forth because I think Chiefs fans went from it's over, doom and gloom, to problem solved, everything's fixed.
Right.
Because they look so good against Baltimore. But it's hard not to come out of that Baltimore game and instantly feel better about their positioning, just knowing that, and I understand they eventually got hurt, but Baltimore is still a team that you have to play a real game against. And they played their best game, maybe the best game in 2 years.
And especially, I think if you look back, and I'm not saying this is for sure going to happen, but what if this is the game that broke Baltimore? You know what I mean?
That's true.
They look broken. I know it's early and they have time to regroup and stuff, but their defense is decimated. Who knows what was going on with Lamar Jackson the other day? And the coach not really backing him after the game was bizarre. So, you know, you could look back at that too and go, you kind of threw a knockout on what was a wounded opponent you thought was going to be a playoff type team and got rid of them early. But I allowed myself to appreciate Patrick Mahomes in this one more so than I do in a lot of games because I feel like it's a little bit taken for granted. Guys, I thought he was awesome the other day. I mean, just an absolute command of the offense, putting the ball where he wanted to, putting it in the tight windows, having that, you know, telepathy pass or two with Travis Kelce, obviously, you know, getting Xavier Worthy the ball, finding Tyquan Thornton in red zone. I mean, I just felt like he just was in absolute control of that offense and, you know, played about as good a game as he has in quite some time.
When you look at it, I'd say that's what we were just talking about with Matt McMullen. He just looked loose. Like, you can tell when, like, elite athletes are just kind of like, you can tell when Michael Jordan feels like he's going to score 50 that night. That's what it felt like with Mahomes.
Yeah.
Like he was just going
to go ahead and try whatever you want. I got this. And maybe we haven't seen that as much, you know, in the last maybe year or two when they've seemingly kind of had to grind through and struggle through, but that was just the dude that was in command of that offense. And then everybody else followed along too. I mean, everybody looked pretty loose the other day. How could you not, the way they were running their offense?
We're talking to Josh Klingler here on 96.5 The Fan. Of course, you can hear him on the Chiefs radio network here Monday Night Football as the Chiefs take on the Jags. Defensively, what have you been seeing from that secondary? Because we know Spags is working his magic and is the best of the business, and it's why they've been able to turn this thing around as well, as much as the convo's about the offense. The secondary, in particular, Noel Williams and Jalen Watson are two of the guys I think have maybe showed up the most that were not talked about, you know, 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, I heard you guys talking about Noel Williams with Matt, and yeah, he's been terrific. And what impresses me maybe the most is it's not like you're saying, well, there's a rookie there, let's give him some help, and throw a bunch of, you know, safeties over the top to help him out. They're just like, well, whoever's on your side, you're guarding them. That's what we do here. It's, you're a corner, go do your thing by yourself. I mean, there's no extra help because he's a rookie, so it's like right into the fire, and he seemingly looks like he can handle it. And physically, he's very good. You look in coverage, and you know, you see a guy running kind of step for step with a wide receiver, and it takes you a minute, right? You're like, oh, which one is that? Oh, wow, that's Williams. Like, he just looks the part. And I think it's really impressive too that they, you know, it's trial by fire. Go out there and do it. There's no safety net for this thing. Go out and do this thing. And I mean, who knows what Christian Fulton's going to bring? I mean, is this going to be one of those, you know, always going to battle to be on the field type things? And Noel Williams is going to step up and make that, you know, that extra corner spot, not even really extra corner, but the additional corner spot kind of obsolete that it is, remains to be seen. But if it's not, and you know, you still have him as an extra guy, I mean, that's a pretty good spot to be in. I thought he's been great. I thought all the rookies have really done a nice job so far. You know, Omar Norman Lott has had his moments. Austin Gelati's had his moments. You know, we haven't seen Jalen Royals maybe yet. That's probably the only one. And obviously Simmons, you know, starting from day number one. So it's been a pretty good start for the rookie class.
Do you feel like the offensive line, we didn't talk about it much with Matt, but do you think the offensive line's gotten better every game? How do you view their performance overall? Obviously this was their best game. Kingsley, no pressures. Simmons gave up the one sack, but Andy and everybody else had said it was Creed's best game. Do you see improvement every game, or how do you view the offensive line at this point?
And no Juwan Taylor penalties, right?
And no Juwan Taylor penalties,
because
yeah.
it's not a punchline. It's a fact, right? It's like reality. Like mm-hmm. you don't want to have those negative plays. Those are just so frustrating because most of them are done without the whistle blowing. You know, like there's still, I'd rather you hold people than doing some of that other stuff, right? But no, I think they played pretty well. You know, I'd still love a game where you got maybe more burst in the run game, that you got the ability to break some people open a little more in the run game. But certainly from a pass blocking perspective, that's a big part of Patrick Mahomes looking calm and cool and collected, is that he's feeling protected. He was clean the other day. And so, yeah, you got to tip your cap to the offensive line in that particular performance. Still waiting for that. I don't know. Maybe breakout run game guys, I think is a, you know, it's not necessarily something like to pine for, but just looking like you could be a threat,
right,
in the run game to bust off a big run every now and then, and not have like your, you know, a 10-yard run being reason to throw a parade, you
or
know,
Mahomes, like, or have something to come from Mahomes or a wide receiver. You know, those, they have 10-yard runs, but yeah, not from running backs.
Yeah, so I mean, I'm I'd like to see it from the running back position. Breshard Smith, another rookie too, that's mm-hmm. kind of jumped in. They found some little niche things for him, and his role has increased here over the last couple of weeks. And so another of the rookies that's stepping up, and I think he would have a big opportunity as well, because I still think they're trying to figure out, you know, what exactly is their third down back. And I think it's been more of, you know, that pass catcher type. And I think he might fit that role a little bit better than the other guys.
Kling, as you start to focus in on Jacksonville a little bit, what have you kind of seen from them and your thoughts? We know the takeaways are the part that is so glaring for everybody, but you know, this is a team offensively that still hasn't done that much yet. What do you make of Jacksonville?
Yeah, I mean, +9 in that turnover margin is just massive. And you mentioned the takeaways, and it's not like they had 7-1 game and, mm-hmm. you know, didn't have one. It's been like, you know, 3 every game, you know, and their ability to take the ball away. Last week's win was impressive. I know San Francisco is a little kind of flux right now, but you go on the road across the country and win that game. I don't care if you take it. I thought they were really good. ETN's burst is back, and I actually like the rookie that compliments him too. He hasn't got a lot of carries just yet, but he's a guy that looks like he's got some speed and some breakaway ability too. The backup running back also is the kick returner. So a kick returner and a punt returner that both broke big plays last week. So they can do things in special teams too. So there's probably a lot of reasons why this team can kind of hang around a little bit, but shut down the run game to me. And you know, the old adage of cut the head off the snake, right? I think it's don't let ETN get going and make Trevor Lawrence have to try to push the ball down the field, because it doesn't look like they're really interested. They're kind of taking a bunch of stuff, quick passes from the quarterback and big runs from the running back. So, you know, go ahead and try to limit those things and make them, you know, try to beat you in a different way. And you know, the defense has kind of done their thing here the last few weeks, and I'm sure Spags will draw something up to try to have that vein. I like too when there's like a definitive like number one running back. I feel like that Karlaftis and Jones and all those guys, Bolton, really get up when there's like, all right, we gotta stop this guy because we're tired of hearing him being talked about.
Talk
more about like Travis Etienne the whole time just to get the defensive front seven going.
Texan, by the way, giving you one recommendation before we let you go for Jacksonville. They said European Street, a great Saturday afternoon bar for you in Jacksonville with multiple locations. I know nothing else about this place.
European Street in Jacksonville, Florida. I mean, why wouldn't it be?
Honestly, that sounds like normally when it sounds weird like that, Kling, you know this from travel. That usually means it's a good spot.
That's probably true.
But it makes no sense.
We'll give it a shot. We're open to suggestions about Jacksonville. I've been there a couple times now and haven't really found that.
Large menu, Kling. I'm looking at the menu. Quite a bit of options here for you.
Nice. And TVs. And you gotta have the TVs as well while we're worth that.
Yeah, I haven't seen a photo from the inside. I'll let you explore that a little bit. We appreciate it. Enjoy the trip down to Jacksonville.
Thanks, guys.
There you go. That's Josh Klingler. He joins us each and every Wednesday. Now I'm looking at this restaurant. 3 locations in Jacksonville. Menu looks legit, man.
It's very brightly colored.
Mm-hmm.
I seriously.
Family favorites.
I think there's a pretty good chance I will never end up in Jacksonville in my life.
I mean, there's
life.
A pretty good chance I never end up in Jacksonville as well. But
that's a pretty good chance.
I'm not hating on the city the way you are, but there's a very good chance I never end up in Jacksonville. The only reason why I would ever go is for a Chiefs game, I think.
It sounds like, Cody, you wouldn't, if you were there, it wouldn't be at your discretion.
No, it'd have to be like, you know, like my wife can go to conferences out of town or whatever. I think this year they're like, one of them is in like in Orlando, but they chose Jacksonville and then I tagged along. That's the only way
I'm along for that. Like if you're
honestly,
I don't think
she's going to Orlando and I'm not tagging along. So like, you know,
oh, you're missing out.
Well, just
take the kids. There's your chance for Disney World right there.
You're missing out.
Right there for Disney World. That's your shot.
Just didn't work out this time.
That's the shot.
I'm sure I'll tag along. Also, when I'm tagging along on a work trip, sometimes no kids. I'll take the kids to Orlando a separate time. It's not a good time to take the kids to Orlando if my wife also has to work.
You can't handle the two kids?
I'm just saying it's not good as in, like, she doesn't get to do, like, I'm going to take them to Disney World without her. I assume she'd like to go.
Yeah.
You can
just saying the hotel room's already paid for.
That's true.
The hotel room's already paid for, man.
That helps.
You still got to spend $2,000 on each day of parks passes and all that crap.
Dude, it is. It's like $200 a person for a ticket before you
for
get
one
a
day,
fast pass
for one
for
day.
A day.
And
for a day.
And you kind of have to get the fast pass.
And my kids want to go to like Super Mario World, so we might end up on the other coast. I don't know.
Okay.
Big Mario fans.
Oh, they don't have the Mario stuff in Florida? They have it in Cali?
Yeah, so some of the stuff. Like Harry Potter's at one of the deals and not at the other.
Florida, I think.
And then, obviously, I don't know. I get confused what's that Universal.
And then Universal's like the Minions area. I think that one is Harry Potter, but there might be one at both.
Gotcha.
Random question.
For you, Gold. For you, Drew. Text line 913-586-7965. Of course, you can follow us on YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, and Facebook. We live stream the show. Take your answers over there as well. Like or subscribe on Twitch and YouTube. Pop to the top of your feed Make sure you do not miss us when we go live. You can even say things like people saying on the text line that I don't know about football or that kind of stuff. We take those over on the YouTubes. That's fine.
You know? By the way, the Detroit Tigers have just looks like taken the lead in this Guardians game. They had the bases loaded with two outs in the top of the fourth inning, and they lead 2-1.
Ooh, late. Getting a run. That game, that series, well, I guess, I'm sorry. I thought it was later.
No, top of the fourth.
I was thinking it was like the sixth inning. It was a little later. That's not my question today. It's not about Jacksonville or food in Jacksonville or the other places.
And it's not, and I don't have a question about your hair today.
It's about, although I looked at my shampoo, normal shampoo.
It's dark, man. It's dark.
It's darker?
It's dark.
It's my normal hair. I didn't do anything.
It's dark. Yesterday, someone said, yeah, Cody, you changed shampoo just for men's shampoo. I said, I don't know.
It looks like my hair.
I still don't notice a difference. I don't know. If anything, your hair might be thicker, and as a result, it's from the shampoo.
I'm going to get a haircut.
It makes the most sense.
I'm going to get a haircut, and then we'll make a decision on whether or not it's darker. That'll be the truth of the matter.
What's the question?
The question I have is actually something we were talking about out in the bullpen a little bit, as Andrew was talking about his racing wheel and some of this other stuff, and what it eventually turned into briefly, and I want the answer from everybody, is if you could choose one legit old school arcade game, not the like one up machines, not the one you're getting from Costco, one old school arcade machine to have in your house, what are you going with? Because we were talking about like Cruising USA, a racing game would be very high on the list
all time.
But I think I would choose a first person shooter one, Area 51 or one of those, you know what I'm saying? One of those style where you're like, it's great for two player. Anybody can pick it up and play it immediately. It seems like that. I think I would choose, and I just played it recently when I went out to this Atlas 9 place in Legends. I played Area 51, and I forgot how much fun that game is. I think that it would be that style of game, maybe specifically that one, but it would be in that vein.
That's good. Now, this one, you can technically buy, like, those retro arcade things for your house now.
They got some Nebraska furniture.
My brother's got one with, Ninja Turtles.
NBA Jam would be one of my, and they have those in those, too.
I didn't play that arcade style much. Did you play that arcade style
Both. Not as much arcade as, I guess, I've been Super Nintendo or whatever it was. That'd be the answer. There's a couple, like, games that I wouldn't say they're just classics, and you might be bored, but like, I still think if I had a legit old school arcade version, not even like the retrofitted ones that they have now, but like an actual from the 80s, like Galaga, that would be awesome. If you had like the legit Galaga in your basement, that'd be cool.
Somebody says pinball machine, Terminator 2 specifically on pinball. Mm. Somebody mentioned, an NBA Jam counts based on ours. Someone said Road Rash, the motorcycle game.
Did I play Road Rash?
I don't know that I would play that one as much as I would like a car one. I do want us to be able to race against each other.
Duck Hunt, someone was saying.
If that's available. But that's not like, was there an arcade version? There might have been.
I'm sure.
You're right, though. Any of like the Buck Hunter type ones would be fun to have, too.
Everyone would like those.
It might have been the Buck Hunter, yes.
Golden Tee getting a mention, which is not surprising. Sure. But Time Crisis, that's the same version as the Area 51. Mm-hmm.
Someone mentions NFL Blitz, which is also a very good.
That'd be an awesome one to have in the basement.
You got to think about one that if people came over, everyone would enjoy playing. Like, you want it to be something you would enjoy.
So that's where NBA Jam, any like, as you said, any of the shooting, arcade games would be, I think, really popular.
I immediately looked it up. Do you know how much it costs to get one of those, like, old school Area 51 Time Crisis games?
Fortune. I bet you it's like $5,000.
$4,000 or $5,000. It really is. Maybe you could get one for $3,000.
Well, because a lot of them are broken and people don't keep them up. It's hard to get them to not, a lot of them are broken down by now. So you got to have someone that can restore it or the proper, someone that actually takes care of them.
Someone says the X-Men game with like 5 players. That was really good. Mm. And we played a lot of, I played a lot of Street Fighter and Mortal Kombat style games. I think fighting games are
a good one too. Yeah.
But I also like, I would just be fine with like Turtles in Time, right? Like Ninja Turtles, 4 players, everybody gets that fun. But I feel like that game would get, I don't know. I feel like that game would get stale.
Yeah, because someone
versus like a racing game would maybe never get stale. Yeah, you just try to get faster.
You could do that over and over. Someone did mention full size Costco has a full size Star Wars pinball machine right now, $4,700. I think that'd be fun for the first week, and I feel like I'd get bored of that pinball machine.
I agree. And we had a pinball machine in our house very briefly growing up, and ended up in a local Greasers restaurant. Anybody remember those?
No,
there was a couple of them.
Greasers.
It was like obviously like 50s
like Winstead's
themed.
Or?
It was like. They had like jukeboxes and stuff. It was kind of like a 50s themed diner.
That sounds good, by the way.
They made all the, they made all the servers dress up like in a white t-shirt and jeans, that kind of thing. Huh. There's lots of suggestions. Excitebike, Gauntlet, any kind. I do think Cruising USA or one of those racing games would be at the way top of the list.
I think a racing game would be there. I, you could put like one of the like a basketball one in there, like not Papa Shot, but like something along those lines.
It's not quite what I was saying. I was thinking more video arcade, but if you're thinking like a Papa Shot, that's not crazy.
Because I think even more than like,
but imagine the space it would take up for a full ass arcade style Papa Shot game.
Not just put
like
ski ball in your back. And now we're just gonna do everything.
Ski ball actually, I was
a ton of space. For
school
that.
Ball would be ski ball would be pretty wild. I think if we're expanding it beyond just like the video arcade ones, and you're just doing arcade games in general, I think a air hockey table would be.
Yeah, that I always loved air hockey as a kid, man. I had a lot of those tabletop ones.
You're not able to do
it
alone, though, obviously.
Yeah, that's the issue. You're right. Like, I had those cheap tabletop ones that you could buy, you know, that were like basically half the size of a kitchen table that you could just put on the table and play
or whatever. Somebody mentioned Golden Tee, and I think that's a very good one.
It's way up there for people.
I don't know if they do it here at Buffalo Wild Wings. There was one of the Buffalo Wild Wings in Indy. There would be tournaments on Tuesday nights. Or on Wednesday nights, you could go and play in a Golden Tee tournament. I mean, there was like legit like $5,000 on the line in some of these tournaments. It's like,
oh, there's people that are very good at it.
Yes,
and are very there's some people that will go to the same bar the same time ever just to try to qualify or whatever.
Yeah,
on
for
Golden
sure.
Tees
I'm just
network.
Saying, like, if there was like Daytona USA or Crazy Taxi, if this
saying it was here in the studio.
No, if I'm saying like out in the bullpen, we had one of those things. That thing would be getting used all the time.
100%.
I had 10 minutes to kill before the show, 20 minutes to kill before the show.
We'd be trying to beat each other's times on the racing games.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Racing game might be the answer.
All right, that's it. We need to get Cruising USA somehow downstairs.
Hang on. Okay. Let me see.
Can we convince them that it's a business expense?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, it's a business expense. Yeah.
Morale.
Team. I was going to say exactly. Team camaraderie.
Does anybody 100%. Know a local company we could rent one of those? We're supposed to hang out with.
To rent one?
Oh, you know, maybe we could change it up.
They're heavy to transport. I doubt they're just readily.
I think that so I've seen for birthday parties, they do like half trucks where people come with all the old school arcade delivered essentially directly
They've
to
got
you.
A Daytona USA 2 power arcade game, $1,600.
$1,600?
On eBay. It's not bad.
I've made much more reckless decisions than that. $1,600, you say?
There's rental places.
But it's only one. We can't race against each other?
Yes. If you want two, the only one that has two of them at least is...
$600 to rent the Cruisin' USA arcade game? $600?
To rent it?
Uh-huh. This is someplace on the East Coast.
Oh, I thought it was here.
No. $600, though.
This is one of the Need for Speed ones, essentially. It's $1,800. Free local pickup. I mean, that's not here.
You can get a Golden Tee arcade game for $500.
There used to be one on the other side of the building. Might still be. I don't know if it works or not.
I don't know whose that was.
Well, there was on the other side of the building.
Fast and Furious Deluxe arcade game on Etsy. I don't know.
No chance.
$300.
Up next, let's get to what's trending. We'll talk a little bit more about the baseball postseason a little bit and some numbers on the Chiefs defensive line and who was playing a little bit more or less, I should say, this past week.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
What's trending?
Number one on what's trending, keeping an eye on playoff baseball today. We mentioned it, the Guardians and Tigers going on right now. Let's see, the latest is in the bottom of the fourth inning, heading to the top of the fifth now, game tied at one. They have the challenge. I mentioned it was 2-1. There was actually a replay review, took a run off the board. So yeah, runner was off at third before the runner came across home plate. So it's 1-1 Tigers Guardians. The Tigers could win with a win would move on. The Guardians have to win later on today. Padres Cubs at a little after 2:00 this afternoon. Cubs do lead that series. Boston leads over the Yankees. That's a little after 5:00 in the late game tonight. The Dodgers trying to end their series this evening against the Reds. It'll be Yamamoto on the mound. I believe if the Reds were to win, Brady Singer would pitch tomorrow. I think so.
Little news and notes around the NFL. The Browns are benching Joe Flacco. They'll turn their sights to Dylan Gabriel as their starter. Commanders quarterback Jaden Daniels has been medically cleared and practiced in full today. But on the other injury front, a couple of others. Running back Trey Benson has surgery. He's out 4 to 6 weeks and on the IR. And Bucky Irving. Not Bucky Brooks.
I did that earlier in the week because we're having maybe Bucky Brooks on the show.
Bucky Irving was seen in a walking boot. They're saying they don't think his ankle injury is serious, but he is week to week. he is questionable for this weekend's games.
Okay. Yeah, the Cardinals now, they're down to their third running back. Mm-hmm. Connor out for the year, Benson out for a while, and now Imercado, which is just a fun name to say.
Well, Michael Carter, if you're feeling...
Whatever else, yeah.
Look, if I'm desperate enough in leagues in which I'm playing bad, I'll end up picking up Michael Carter and seeing if I can squeeze 2 weeks out of him.
Elsewhere, what's trending, the NCAA today did announce that the 2028 Women's Final Four will take place at Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis. It's the first time the Final Four for women will be hosted in an active NFL venue in over 20 years. So they're going back from doing the NBA venues to an NFL venue. They're hoping to capitalize on the increased popularity with women's basketball.
Makes a lot of sense, honestly. If you're going back to the NFL venue, women's basketball has seen a huge spike here lately as well. Next up on What's Trending, Frank White officially recalled in a vote in Jackson County yesterday. We thought the stadium deal was lopsided. This was one-sided. He lost by a margin of 85-15%. Choosing to recall, he will choose to fight it, or has asked the Supreme Court
has
to look at it.
Has he?
Yeah, I think
he is. That official?
I think he was asking, or maybe
he was trying to get a pause. He was trying to delay. I think he sent out a statement last night, Cody, that said he accepts the results and yada yada yada.
It took a little while, at least on that end. But at least he's finally getting somewhere, at least on that front. They decided to recall him. Let's see if that makes any headway on the stadium front.
That is what's trending. Yeah, I don't know if it will. I think, again, Royals more likely to have a decision before the Chiefs. And I think the Chiefs kind of want that to be the case, too. But go ahead.
Did you guys see the Browns had their media availability, and Shador was asked questions, but he answered them as if he was a mime. He mouthed words, but did not actually...
He wouldn't speak?
He spoke without speaking, you will. It's going around on social media right now.
Is that real?
No. It is very real.
So he chose to just not talk.
If you look up Shador Sanders right now on Twitter, you can see a video, and he's not talking, but he's meeting with the media. He's answering the questions, but it's a...
Well, that's
as
really
if he was a mime, which is not going to go over great, I don't think.
I don't think he's ever going to play a game for the Browns. I don't think he's going to start a game for the Browns. I think if Dylan Gabriel got hurt in this game, they go back to Flacco. And not just because
he's listed as a third stringer.
Not just because of that. That happens all the time, and then they still go to the young guy at this point.
Was he just joking around or what?
That's not the time to joke around. Everybody knows you're disappointed you're not starting.
Agreed.
The time is to be serious. Be like, I'm really happy for Dylan. He's worked really hard for this. I'm happy for him. All of that stuff. He just pantomimed an answer when asked about still being quarterback 3 and what else he needs to show Cleveland. So he just...
I think it's that part, Cody.
He was just being goofy, but it's just like, it's not the time to be goofy. That's the problem. It's like time and place, and when Deion Sanders is prime time, and it's like he wants to be prime time, like his dad and all this money and the swagger, but there's time and a place for it. And it's just like,
I didn't hear the questions, though. I guess what I'm asking is,
what else he felt like he needed to show Cleveland?
The minute he started miming, did a reporter say, hey, so are you not going to be able to talk today?
I'll have to listen.
As far as I'm concerned, I saw a video that went like a minute straight where there were two or three questions in that minute, and they just let him do his thing. Nobody asked.
Yeah, it's a bit weird, man.
They just let him kind of do it.
Grow up, man.
I will say, I do think before this came out, I thought eventually he would play, because I think the Browns, part of them, I think, do want to see what they have just in general, because them sitting Flacco this early, it gives me the vibe of Dylan Gabriel. They're going to see what he has for 4 or 5 games, and then if that doesn't go well, then maybe they'll play Shador for a couple of games, and then they'll go back to Dylan Gabriel and just see what they have, I guess. But, I mean, not that this would change anything, but I thought it was interesting.
I'm really shocked why he fell in the draft. Really, really shocked.
Like, some of that is just, you know, you got humbled by the draft. This stuff happens. Dylan Gabriel was the higher pick. He was always going to start first. If you would just work hard and, you know, all the nothing, it's like, it feels like this was a weird time to be putting on that show. That's all. Just a weird time for it. Just,
I wonder if he'll ever have an explanation as to why
The defenders of Shador will say, he's just doing this so that the media can't twist what he's saying. Okay, that's a hell of a spin job by
you could
as
just
well.
Say nothing like every other, you know, like, you could just give the stereotypical answers. That's also a choice, but...
Interesting.
You know what? Like I said yesterday, Kim Ward, I'm tired of the stereotypical answers. Give me whatever you got, you know? I want you to be honest.
He could have said, I'm disappointed. I should be quarterback.
Right now, we ask.
I'd rather hear Shador say, you know what? I'm really disappointed that I wasn't selected. Honestly, I'd rather hear him say that.
I don't think he should say that for his own
positioning
on the team. I'm not going
to. Like, there would be times I'd love for Patrick Mahomes to say, you know what, I am the best player in the league and nobody can touch me. That's not going
to
happen.
Or just to, like, you know, what people want out of Mahomes is when somebody runs the wrong route for him to just bury him. But, like, that's not what teams do. It's not what teams do a lot of times. We'll see. We'll see whether or not this twisting of agendas or whatever they're
okay.
trying to pitch.
Okay. Let's talk about the Chiefs defensive line a little bit and what we saw on Sunday, in particular with Jelotti and Aminihu. We all know the rookie. Jelotti is out there starting. Still less snaps than Charles Aminihu. 47 compared to 56. Yeah, very close. And you're wondering, along with Norman Lott, how much longer are they taking to work these guys into the rotation? The answer is not very long. We've seen both of them get some significant increase in snaps. What I find interesting, though, about this Sunday was, while the snaps were closer than they ever had been between Aminihu and Jelotti, and Aminihu's had a disappointing start to his 2025 season,
yes.
Based on some of the pressure rate and other metrics, this was the best game Aminihu had. Is this the start of something, or is this just, hey, this is not going to happen in 2025 for him? Because it's cool to see Jelotti getting more snaps, but also Aminihu had in 25 pass rush snaps, 4 QB pressures. So he got only 10 more snaps than Jelotti.
It was his best game by a mile.
And he had 3 more pressures, I think, than Jelotti did in the game. And there was some more deeper dive numbers, next gen stats. I think Jesse Newell tweeted them out from The Athletic, where compared to week one, how quickly basically you get the snap, the jump for the snap, right? How quickly you cross the line of scrimmage from the snap of the ball. And it was down to 0.74 seconds. For comparison, in week one, it was 1.02. And you may not think that's a huge difference, but in the NFL, for like that particular metric, that's viewed as a pretty crazy increase.
Why do you think Juwan Taylor tries to start false start every game? It's not like an accident. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it is that kind of difference can make a huge difference overall. And I think you've got to, like, consider that when you're looking into it. Look, they still have, and I think that the only thing that could give you any kind of pause over, am I fearful over their ability to hold up in the long run on the defensive side of the ball, as in they don't show warts in certain games or come up in a bad spot in a certain game, is the pass rush. Continues to be the pass rush. And to Matt McMullen's point, the Jacksonville Jaguars get rid of the ball about as quick as anybody in the NFL. And Trevor Lawrence doesn't throw the ball deep as a result of that. So it's not like it's going to look stellar this week. I like that they're tinkering. Find the guys who can get to the quarterback more and run them more. Obviously, no matter what, I mean, he's going to play. Jelotti's going to play. They rotate defensive linemen. They've always done that. They're going to do it forever. The question is more, can you get one other complimentary pass rusher on the outside to go with George Karlaftis, who has 3 sacks and has overall been a very good player, and has led the team in pressures and led the team in tackles for loss and led the team in pretty much every defensive line category, even more than Chris Jones has. But Chris Jones is still getting doubled every single time because they don't have a place to do it. That's why Spags earlier this week was talking about Pro Football Focus grades.
Yeah.
He's being asked about Chris Jones' numbers technically look down a little bit this week or this year as a result of some of those things. And he's like, it's not just about those. We see what we like in Chris.
What grades are you using? That's what everybody uses. The only thing, I Chris Collinsworth, I think he's a good dude and he's involved in that company. I don't know how you put a grade on somebody when you don't know actually what their assignment was or what they were being told. So I don't know. It's like that from our standpoint. I thought Chris in this particular game had a real big effect on the game. They obviously found ways to double him. Whether it was two linemen, the running back at times was chipping inside, which you don't see a lot, because that was the Chris Jones effect. A number of times that he didn't get there, but I think he forced a quick throw or step up. So, from my standpoint, I don't remember what Chris's actual grade was, but I know that at the end of the game, I thought the guys up front, Chris included, had a big effect on the way things went.
And it's just like, and I don't even think he's like trying to tear down the entire system. He's like, it's a hard thing to grade because we have more information than you. Like, for instance, Pro Football Focus grades it as a pressure for Chris Jones, and so does the NFL as a pressure for Chris Jones when he goes after Justin Herbert. He pressured Justin Herbert. He blew his assignment. He did a bad job on that snap. And so it's just more subjective than people want to admit. And so, it's tough with Chris Jones, whose numbers do not support him as being an elite level interior defensive lineman this year, whose Pro Football Focus grade currently ranks 93rd out of 179 potential players at defensive line. You and I know he's been better than that this year. I don't think he's been normal Chris Jones yet.
No, they need more out of him, but he's not been bad. That would be would be incorrect.
It's also like, how can you rank as the 93rd rated Pro Football Focus overall, but also be second in the NFL in pressures? You know, like, how can both things
you're
be
not,
true?
It's when you're not, because he's not the 93rd best defensive lineman in football.
Yeah, no, he's not. But they also still need one more guy. You can't just have two. Yeah. Eagles don't just have two. Great defensive lines don't just have two dudes. And right now, they have two.
Yeah, they
it's
need
Carlontis
they need
and Chris Jones.
Dana
you need a third.
Or a Minnehue or Gelati. They need some combination. Doesn't have to just be one of them, by the way.
Yeah, you can all be pretty good.
And that's why I think we're seeing Norman Lotz get a little more playing time. Gelati, they're trying to find something there. To see who can stand out, who can take that step forward, and we'll see. I mean, I still think as we go through the season, based on also now seeing that some of the numbers are really showing improvement, I think we'll get to a point where Charles Minnehue will be more impactful, but he's off to a slow start. They need more from him. I mean, as a veteran, it's one thing to ask a rookie to get going. Charles Minnehue, like, you've been in the system now for multiple years, you're healthy, all that.
You want to get paid?
You know, it's time for him to obviously have a little bit bigger impact on the game. And I thought this past weekend he did.
It doesn't have to be today. You and I are in agreement in this. I don't care if Gelati's the third best pass rusher and it takes until week 11. Just eventually develop a guy who can get to the quarterback late in games and not make it Drew Tranquil or Leo Chenal off the edge or blitz guys. Those things will always be there. You can always disrupt it. I need one more guy that if there are four down linemen and nobody else is blitzing and everybody's hanging back, that somebody can get to the quarterback on occasion.
What, like today or like in the future?
It's not just another day. It's today.
Yeah. Someone says from the 913, is Felix had all year? Yeah?
Oh, yeah. He's on the IR. He's done. Yeah, he can't come. Like they did not. Yeah, he's out. He's done.
Also, if that was your solution, okay.
Yeah, unfortunately, I hate to say it, like Norman Lott in the regular season game Felix already had a bigger play in a regular season game than Felix ever had. Felix had a very nice tackle in the Super Bowl.
Felix is going to go down as one of the biggest busts of the Brett Veach era.
Looking like it. Yeah, unfortunately.
Maybe the biggest because he was taken in the first round.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
Him, Sky Moore. I mean, those are probably the two right now. Sky Moore is taken in the second. He's taken in the 60s. I mean, that's a great Clyde, but Clyde had a year of productivity.
Yeah, he got off to a great start.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he had a productive year. It's very tough, but yeah, I don't know. The pass rush stuff really does need to improve. I think we understand it needs to improve, all of that stuff. And there's certainly room for improvement on it. We know that.
But. What's the, switching on gears a little bit, what's the baseball game today you're most intrigued by? We got one on right now. It's pretty tight.
This one's 1-1 and finished 2-1 yesterday. There was almost no offense in it.
The winner of this series, do I have my bracket correct, goes to Seattle. Is that right? And then the Yankees would go to Toronto or the Red Sox would go to Toronto. I think
correct.
I have that right. Okay. So, look, I don't necessarily care who wins this series. I would say this. The Guardian story is awesome. Maybe you want to see that continue. I also still think the Tigers, now that they already blew it in the regular season, to me, they're playing loose. Yeah, I like them to win the series. I don't really care ultimately who wins it. I enjoy seeing the Yankees last night suffer the way they did, but I also don't like Boston. So,
can just root for the Blue Jays.
How about the Yankees lose this series and then Boston can lose the next series? How about that?
That's fine. The most intriguing part about it yesterday, there were three things that I thought were the most interesting stuff about what happened yesterday and what I'll be watching for today. And none of them were the Cleveland's. This series was actually the least interesting, probably. Despite the fact I know these two teams probably the best out of any.
Never seen them.
The Yankees and Boston. One, because it's a classic rivalry, and the Yankees have had this, they haven't won a championship in a gajillion years thing hanging over their head. But also because they blew it. They had every opportunity to win that baseball game last night and blew it. And so that one was intriguing. The second intriguing part to me was that the Cubs and the Padres, at least on the NL side, looks to be a really good series. That's probably the series I'm most excited to watch because I think those two teams are the most even. Lastly is probably Shohei Ohtani. He is the opposite Aaron Judge. When the lights come on, when the light is the brightest, Shohei Ohtani is a monster. It's one of the rare things we see in sports. Lots of players are talented. We talk about this with Patrick Mahomes. Lots of players are talented in the NBA and can do things in a regular season game like we've talked about with Russell Westbrook. Very few players are both great regular season players who are one of the 10 best, 5 best players in their sport, and then when they matter the most, also play awesome Patrick Mahomes is one of them. In baseball, it is clearly Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah, I think he's both. Aaron Judge, I mean, that's what it's all about now is can he ever step up in the postseason? That was the story last year. Yes, they made the World Series, but he did not have overall a great postseason. And obviously in the World Series, I think he hit like 220 or something in the World Series against the Dodgers in that series. And yesterday, it's one game, but hey, when you're playing best of three series, like, it needs to happen now. And you know, he didn't have that moment either. So I mean, like the Yankees lose tonight, their season's over. So they need their best player.
Another year
where
they came up short, and they made it to a World Series finally last year. And he played well in the Royals series and some others to help get them there. But then, like you said, he came up short. It's just a rare. I appreciate typically sports greatness in the sense that it is very rare that a player has both. Not saying great players can't win single championships, but that they are their best in their biggest moments. From the 816, or 913, I'm sorry. Cody, you are the biggest bust of 96.5.
Such a crazy day.
Keep Emo out of your mouth. I want to say it specifically that way.
Mouth? Out of pocket text.
Honestly,
that's obviously why people are more defensive about the bus conversation with Felix. With people, he's a local kid and all that. And I understand, but like the reality is, Breland Speaks was a second rounder and Felix was a first rounder. So
you're
it's
a KU
really...
grad, and they don't like me, so they're not going to listen.
You think they think?
No, I'm saying they're not going to listen to either of us on this. Genuinely, and I don't mean this to tear down the kid. I hope that he has a second stop somewhere else and has success in the NFL. Seems like a really nice person. What argument is there for that he's not a bust? He has like 4 career sacks in 3 full seasons as an NFL pro. How many career sacks does he have? It can't be way more than that.
I have no idea. I mean, I don't even know. It's that high. I don't know. 3.5, 4.
The biggest thing I think for Kings or for FAU as well is it's not like injuries have riddled his career where
this year it sidelined him. Yeah.
Yeah. But we already, the writing was already on the wall, I think, before this season started, in fairness to him, where like, for people who say like Greg Oden is a bust, I don't think Greg Oden is a bust because injuries, if your injuries derail your career, I don't think you can be considered a bust if you played while you were healthy, where Felix hasn't had injuries and he hasn't been able to get on the field. So that all coupled together, I think
he can have second life.
It's very hard for you to make the case that he's not a bust. I don't get.
It's just the reality. It sucks. Like nobody wants to be that. And obviously, as a local kid, you want to see him succeed. Kansas City. So
being a local kid, being a bust is so much worse. Like being Bubba Starling is so much. It hurts so much worse to be like, I grew up here. I played here. I'm playing for my hometown team. It's a much tougher position to be in. And I think sometimes, unfortunately for Felix, and we talked about this when he got drafted, puts extra pressure on him.
Pressure you got a lot of people around you. Because you're local too, that you never know what kind of advice you're getting and things like that that could also not help you out in your career development. There's just a lot of stuff that goes into it.
Tough.
It's unfortunate. We weren't planning on talking about him today, but it definitely is part of the defensive line equation of, you know, if you're asking who could step up.
Well, we were talking about that before he got hurt.
You know, it'd be a little bit simpler if the draft pick would have worked out better.
And unfortunately, that goes back to the Gelati and Norman Lott stuff. We said when they got drafted, it's not a great sign for Felix. Because if they felt like they had that other pass rusher in-house, they wouldn't be continuing to seek higher picks at replacement positions for him. They would be trusting him to have a big year 3. And so, I don't know, the defensive line is the only part of the defense that I'm like, okay, still a little bit worried. I love the secondary. The corners are once again, what do? Drafted another corner. Maybe we talk about no one. Drafted another corner. It's great again. Okay, I feel good there.
Jalen Watson healthy is pretty darn good.
Safety is working. Like there's parts of the defense. The linebackers are playing well, including Chenal in this new Swiss Army knife role where he does everything. All of this stuff seems to be like fitting really well. The defensive line is the only thing that is like, if you get into a game with a team who can really block and you can't just scheme up a blitz to get to him, what are you going to do? How's it going to look? Is your secondary good enough then? You know, all those things, Gold, that we just can't know until they get put in a position where the blitzes don't work for a day. And to this point, Spags is still throwing stuff
I think that's where the Lions game really is the one. Because I would say Denver, but they don't have the wide receiver group that Detroit does, where you're dealing with an offensive line that's very good, and Amon-Ra St. Brown, Jamison Williams, Sam Laporta out of the backfield. Yeah. Like Jimmy, like they have a wrecking
crew.
Jared
Goff has historically been very good against the blitz.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. I have to look it up. Maybe that'd be worth looking up here soon. Who are the best quarterbacks in the NFL against the blitz this year? Because it might tell you a little bit of something about how the Chiefs' offense or defense will hold up over the next few weeks. obviously, you and I both said yesterday, the day before, we think they're one of the best defenses in the NFL.
Tomorrow on the show, Danan Hughes, former NFL wide receiver, going to join us. We'll talk to him about some of the wide receivers there in Jacksonville as well, including Brian Thomas. Paul Charchian will get us set for fantasy football week number 5. You're still alive in the unofficial C&G.
I am.
Hey, you do. Keep it up.
I didn't lose. Like, I didn't have Malik Neighbors. I didn't have any of the like serious injuries.
I got to find out about some bids in this other one. We got till 6 o'clock in this other one to figure out. I don't know how much money I'm alive. Spend on Justin Jefferson.
I wanted somebody from this show to be alive for at least longer than 3 weeks.
Gold and I have won, so it's your turn now, Cody.
Yeah.
This is your year. Maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe. So we'll talk some fantasy football tomorrow, and make sure you bring your teaching materials for Professor Tapp. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.